the room grew still as she made her way to Jesus. She stumbles through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, "There's no place here for her kind." Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard as she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster. And I've come to pour my praise on him, like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I washed his feet with my tears and I dried them with my hair. You weren't there. I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. And I spent my days pouring my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's
Thank you, Allison. Well, good morning once again. It is certainly good to have everybody in our service today. We're glad to have you with us. We have been involved in a series. This will be the third Sunday. The title of the series is All These Things. Have you ever considered how many times the Word of God makes mention of the idea, all these things. 2 weeks ago, we introduced the series and we looked at the view of all these things through the eyes, first of all, of a pessimist. We used Jacob as an example from the Old Testament, who wondered why all these things were against him. Have you ever felt like that? You know, nothing's good, the whole world is bad. Why does everything bad happen to me? You know, to quote those famous philosophers from Hee Haw, if I didn't have bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. You know, woe is me. And then in that same message, we looked at the view of the pessimist, the Apostle Paul, who says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so we understand that in serving the Lord, a lot has to do with our perspective of things. You know, we can let things get us down if we want to, but we can choose to rise above those things and we can be the Christian that God wants us to be if we'll get past that mental attitude of, you know, the whole world really isn't out to get me, I think. At least that's what I think. And so we considered that idea, first of all. And then last week, we looked at this idea of all these things from the perspective of a historian, that historian being the Apostle Paul, and reminding the nation of Israel that all the things that happened to them in the past served as examples of how we ought to live our lives in this era we call of Christianity. And so that was last week's message. And this week I want to think about the idea of all these things from the perspective of the master teacher. Who can tell me who the master teacher is? His name is Jesus Christ. There's never been a better communicator than Jesus himself. There's never been a better person at teaching than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the master teacher. So would you agree with me this morning then that whatever Jesus says, that would be the thing to do? Whatever Jesus would have to say, whatever he thought was important, then should be something that we should practice in our life. It should be something that we ought to emulate. And so this morning I want to use this example of the master teacher. Would you please stand with me as we read from the Word of God today? We're going to read from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. We'll just read one verse, but I want you to see it this morning. If you do not have a copy of the Word of God, there's one under this chair in front of you. You're welcome to use that while you're here. We just ask that you replace it before you leave so someone else can use it. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus saith unto them, and then he asked a question, have ye understood all these things? Let's read it again. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? Pray with me if you would please. Heavenly Father, as we consider the word today of the master teacher, your Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Jewish Messiah, the one who has changed history, the one and only one through whom we can have eternal salvation, Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that we would listen to his words this morning, the things that he has to say. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will allow me to preach this morning, that the Spirit of God may preach through me. I yield myself to him today. And I ask, Lord, that he would help me to say the things that need to be said today and forget the things that don't need to be said. And, Lord, that you might communicate through me today your precious word. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you and be seated if you would please this morning. So as we consider this idea of the master teacher, we want to look about what it is that Jesus is saying. Here in the 13th chapter, Jesus is presenting different ideas through what is called parables. Up to this point, in verses 1 through 50, he presents to the people seven different parables. You say, what is a parable? Well, the simplest explanation that I can give of the meaning of a parable is this. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In other words, Jesus is using earthly conversation that the Jewish people are used to in their particular culture so that they might understand spiritual principles. And to this point, he has given them seven different parables here in this 13th chapter. So he makes a statement, and Matthew records it for us, what he says. He asks the question of his apostles, Have ye understood all these things? Now, I believe that that's a very important question. Now, obviously, we can't cover seven parables this morning. So I will speak to you concerning the first parable, and we begin to read here in the 13th chapter. We'll begin with verse number 1. If you would turn in your scripture there to Matthew chapter 13, beginning to read in verse number 1. Now, understanding at this point, ministry is very busy in the life of Jesus and his apostles at this particular time. It says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. So Jesus, what's going on in chapter number 2 carries over here into chapter number 3. And the Bible says, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables. Now, so Jesus is very busy ministering. He's been performing miracles. He has been talking to the people. He has been, large groups of people have been coming to hear the words of this man, Jesus Christ, who declares himself to be the Son of God, the Jewish Messiah. Now, understand that many times people come to Jesus for the wrong reasons. Now, you say, Brother Don, what in the world are you saying? What I'm saying is, it is not hard to draw a crowd when you're feeding 5,000 people with a couple of fishes and a few loaves of bread. That is not difficult to drum up a crowd when you're able to pull something like that off. It is not difficult to draw a crowd whenever you are healing the sick, when you are causing the lame to walk again, when you are causing the blind to see and the deaf to hear. It is not difficult. You don't have to spend a lot of money on advertising when you've got a prophet like that amongst you. I mean, the word is going to get out in the neighborhoods and into the community about this person who is able to do these things. And huge throngs of people were pressing in upon Jesus in so much as he stood there, as he came out of this particular house where he was staying, that there were the great press of people that came upon Jesus, that he had to get into a boat and on the Sea of Galilee and go out into the Sea of Galilee so that the throngs of people that were on the seashore might look towards that boat. And as Jesus taught, he had their attention. Now, for some reason, Jesus teaches them speaking and using parables. Jesus is beginning to thin the ranks of the people. You say, why would he do that? He would do that because he wants true worshipers. He wants people that want him for the right reason, not because of what he can do for them. Now, let me say this. It's okay if you come for the free food, but don't let that be the only reason you come to church. It's okay to come because God is doing something in the community, but the reality is that God is not in charge of a welfare program. That is not his function. That is not why Jesus came to this earth. Jesus came to this earth to preach a message of salvation, the message that this world needs to hear. So he begins by speaking to them in parables. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came, and he devoured them. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Then Jesus made another statement. He says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, he is not, when he says that, he is not just merely speaking about the physical aspect of hearing. He's talking about connecting the dots. He's talking about assimilating the message, of receiving the message, the spiritual message. Because understand this morning, the most important thing that can ever happen in the life of anyone is to come to salvation through Jesus Christ. That is the foremost reason that Jesus came. He didn't come just to feed the masses. He didn't come just to make life easy. He didn't come so that we could live in mansions here on earth. He didn't come so that we could drive a Corvette. He didn't, though some people are fortunate enough to do that. And if you do, I hate you. I just wanted to get that out. I just wanted to get that off my... No, I don't hate you. I want to borrow it. No, God didn't come so that you could be wealthy. Jesus came so that you could live forever. And that is the most important thing. That is more important than what I eat today. That is more important than what I wear today. That is more important than where I live today. What is the most important thing is that my name is recorded in heaven. That is the most important thing. So Jesus here says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now Jesus' target, or let's say the market. Let me put this in a more current vernacular. Some of you have worked in sales. You know that there's such a thing as a market forecast. There's such a thing as quotas. There's such a thing as a targeted group. And advertising that you see on television targets different groups because they want to sell you a particular vehicle, or they want you to buy their brand of clothing or whatever it might be. Well, Jesus, the master strategist, his market is souls. That is what he wants. He wants souls to be saved. He wants people to come to a saving knowledge of him and an acceptance so that they might live forever. So he makes the statement, "Who hath ears to hear?" That is somebody who is listening for a spiritual message. This is not a physical needs message. This is a spiritual needs message. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, notice what happens in verse number 10. And his disciples came. This was actually the apostles. And they said unto him, they asked him a question. Why speakest thou unto them in parables? That's a good question, don't you think? That's an honest question. They want to know, Lord, why are you speaking to these people in parables? Here's the answer. Notice, he answered and he said unto them in verse number 11, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. You say, wait a minute, doesn't Jesus want the whole world to be saved? Yes, he does. But Jesus has already reached a point in his ministry that he is not going to waste precious time with people that are only looking for material blessing. He is going to begin to preach a message that only people who are seeking him will receive. You say, why would he do that? Well, let me show you from the scripture. Go with me, if you would please, to Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 6. Now, these are the words of Jesus. You agree with me? These are the words of Jesus. And did we not already establish that he is the master teacher? He is the greatest teacher who has ever existed. Notice what he says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 6. He says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Whoa! Whoa! Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Have you ever noticed that a dog is no more grateful because you serve him a bowl of dog food out of a dish that is pure silver? Makes no difference to him. He would just as soon eat out of the trash can. It does not matter, because that dog does not have any discernment. He doesn't appreciate the feeding anymore because it's given to him in a silver dish. It makes absolutely no difference to him whatsoever. But that's not the worst of it. Notice what else Jesus says. You say, this is harsh. We're going to bring it around in just a little bit. Now notice this. Notice what it says. It goes on to say, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Any of you ladies own pearls? They will admit it. Are pearls precious? Are they rare? Let me ask you a question. Who is the pearl of great price? Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying, don't cast your pearls, who is our greatest pearl, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Do not cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample you under their feet and turn again and rend you. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, I believe in verse number 6, he is saying there are people who are not interested in me for who I am. They are only interested in what I can do for them. Now let me say this. Come for the free food, but stay. And learn of Jesus. I have no problem with feeding people once to get them to hear the gospel. I do have a problem with them expecting us to do it every Sunday. My friend, each of us has a responsibility to Almighty God. Each of us is personally accountable to the Son of God. He came, he died, He gave his life so that we can have salvation. Come for the freebies, but then plug in. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Learn of him. Serve him. You see, there's more to Christianity than just showing up. There's such a thing as service to Jesus Christ. And so Jesus makes it very clear. He makes it very clear because you have to understand that there's many people at this point in time in his ministry that are coming for the wrong reason. They're not coming because they love Jesus, because they've fallen in love with him. They've come because of the free food. They've come because of the healing. Remember the 10 lepers that Jesus cleansed? How many of those 10 lepers returned and thanked Jesus for what he did? Only one. That's sad. 90% of those that were healed that day were not even grateful for their healing. That's sad. That is sad, 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 sad. Now, let's go back to the story. He answered and he said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that he hath. Now let me ask you a question. Christian, for those of you who have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've gone beyond that. You followed him in scriptural baptism. You've gone beyond that. You joined his local ministry. You've gone beyond that. You've gotten involved in the service of the ministry. You've done the things that the Word of God has told you to do. Now, let me ask you a question. When you do those things, does God take things away from you, or does he add them to you? Does he not? To whom those who will receive salvation, as they grow spiritually, as they mature in the Lord, God will increase you. God will lift you up. God will bless you. And then he takes from those who will not. I gotta say it, folks. Tithing is scriptural. But you don't understand, Brother Don, I can't afford to tithe. Let me turn that around. Christian, you can't afford not to tithe because you're robbing God, you're robbing yourself, you're showing a lack of faith, and you expect me to believe that you can trust your eternal soul to a man that you've never seen, but you can't trust him with your wallet? You can trust him with your eternal soul, but you can't trust him with your wallet. That makes absolutely no sense. I had to say it. I had to get that out there. It's just, you know, it's in my nature. I'm a Baptist. I can't help it. Verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him it shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. You see, the natural man, the Bible says, understands not the things of God. That it is impossible. Sometimes we'll say, you know, why don't those people get it? Well, they don't get it because they're unsaved. They can't get spiritual things because they won't receive them. So their minds are not engaged. Their minds are not unlocked. Their minds are still held captive by Satan. And so Jesus makes some statements that are really kind of hard to understand on the surface until you dig a little deeper. Verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. Even in the parables, it was predicted by the prophets of old that this man would speak in parables. It was predicted. And so it was natural for Jesus to speak in parables because it was already prophesied in ages before that he would do that. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. So understand, Jesus will speak to you. But if you reject what Jesus is saying, there is no guarantee that he will speak again. You say, Brother Don, where do you get that? Okay, let me show you. Matthew chapter number 10. Let's look at it for just a moment. We'll begin to read in verse number 11. The 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. Look at it there quickly if you would please. And we'll plug in at verse number 11. Now understand what is happening here. Jesus is sending, he is sending out disciples to go and to heal and to preach the gospel. He's sending them on their way. And he says in verse number 11, he says, and into whatever city or whatever town you shall enter, inquire who is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. So as he sends them out, he says, I'm sending you out two by two. I'm sending you to different areas. Go into an area. Find somebody who is hospitable. Inquire if you can dwell there while you're ministering in that city. And that is the way that God provided for them in the early beginning. Now notice what he says. And you, when you come into a house, salute it. That just simply means to greet it. To greet the household. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. So if the people respond positively to the gospel, they receive Christ, and they embrace Christianity, then ask God to bless that home with peace. But he said, if they do not, let that return unto you. Verse number 14, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house, notice what it goes on to say, as you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying this, if that household will not receive the gospel, if that city will not receive the gospel, don't fret about it. You have done what I've told you to do. You preach the gospel. Do you understand today that we only have the responsibility to tell people one time? Do you get that this morning? We only have the responsibility to tell people the gospel one time, and then it is up to them. Now, I understand not everybody responds to the gospel the first time. I get that. But do you understand and realize there is a whole world to reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, if you're making headway and you're seeing that you're doing good, then by all means, continue. But if they curse you, if they make fun of your God, if they don't want Jesus, you know what he said? Don't worry about it. Leave. Shake the dust off of your feet. Go on down the way. Go to the next house. Go to the next city. Present Jesus. Do you know where Jesus got the most grief in his ministry? It was in his own hometown. You know why? Because they knew him when he was growing up. And they're saying, can this really be the Messiah? And do you know the chapter that talks about that, that it says that Jesus didn't do many mighty works in that vicinity because of their lack of faith? They wouldn't receive it. They wouldn't accept it. They rejected it. And let me help you to understand, when we reject the Word of God, when we reject the words of Jesus, that is dangerous territory. And we do not have any guarantee that God will ever give us another chance to be saved. So we had better stand, we better sit up, we better listen, we better pay attention when the Word of God is preached, because we don't have a guarantee that it'll ever happen again. Jesus says, you just go your merry way, you go on, and you preach the gospel elsewhere. You say that that is harsh. Let me help you to understand something. Jesus knows the hearts of men and women. He knows how callous they can be. He knows how this world is consumed with materialism. This world is consumed with everything but Jesus Christ. And so if we hear the gospel one time, we are very fortunate, because, my friend, there are millions upon millions upon millions that have never heard the name of Jesus living today upon the face of the earth. So we are a fortunate people. There was a day in America when we saw great numbers of people come to Jesus Christ. What is happening today? I don't need that. I'm doing well. I've got affluence. I've got a great job. Things are going well in my life. You know what? That can change. That can change. So be careful. Be careful. Because God can change those things. Now, Jesus said in verse number 15, let's read it again. For this people's heart is waxed gross or callous, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Do you understand today? Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus wants to heal that sin that is in your life. He wants to make you a brand new creature. He wants to make you alive. He goes on to say, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. What was true of 11 of the 12 disciples at this point? They all had spiritual understanding, because they had trusted Jesus as the Lord. And say, I say 11 because one of them was a traitor. His name was Judas. He never was saved. He never accepted Jesus. He was from the devil from the beginning. Verse number 17, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. You know what Jesus is telling them? Jesus is telling them, you are a fortunate generation. Why are they a fortunate generation? They are fortunate because they got to see the fulfillment of Scripture in Jesus Christ. They got to see what their forefathers had only dreamed of. They are looking at the Messiah, the Savior of the world. They are looking at God's Son in the flesh. And he says, they are so spiritually discerned, they do not connect the dots. They will not hear. They will not see. They will not comprehend. They just go on and live their life any way that they want to. They do not care. Verse 18, hear ye therefore. Jesus is about to reveal the parable of the sower. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is which receives seed by the wayside. So that correlates with verse number 4 of the chapter. And when he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came, and they devoured them up. The sower is going forth into the field. The field is the world that we live in. The sower is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And He is sowing seed. What seed is Jesus sowing? Jesus is sowing the seed of salvation, eternal life. It is free to any man who will receive it. And as the seed is sown, some of the seed falls by the wayside. If you've ever done any planting, you know that not every seed that is sown produces fruit. Because sometimes there might be some overspray and it goes by the wayside. And it doesn't cultivate, it doesn't grow. And Jesus is using a spiritual analogy here. They saw Him, they saw His miracles, but they didn't connect the dots of who He was. All they wanted was the freebies. These people are not saved. These people will not be in heaven because they did not use discernment. They did not respond to the invitation of salvation. Now let's move on for just a moment. Let's look also in verse number 20, just a minute. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. This is the emotional crowd. This is the crowd that makes every decision based on emotion. I mean, it's not a heart decision, it's an emotional decision. I mean, and you know the problem with emotion? One day it's up and one day it's down. Next day it's up, next day it's down. We cannot live on an emotional high. We cannot do that. And anybody who makes an emotional decision about Christ is missing a great opportunity. Now look what it says. But he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. This correlates with verses 5 and 6. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. So this is not by the wayside. This is on stony places. And by the way, the soil represents this right here, our heart. Many years ago when I was an associate, I relieved my pastor one Sunday. He was on vacation. And I chose the topic of soil problems. And boy, I built it up, brother. I built it up big. I want to preach to you this morning about the greatest problem we face today. It's not nuclear proliferation. It's not the advancement of Islam. Those are not the greatest problems today. The greatest problem we have today is soil problems. What? Yeah, soil problems. Right here. Because it's out of this that proceedeth every wicked imagination. And so these first two have soil problems. They're tantamount to the people who received the word on the wayside, on the pavement. The fruit isn't going to grow in the pavement. It's not going to grow in the stony places. These people are not saved. They have just responded out of emotion. Oh man. This guy can feed a multitude of people. He can cause the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the lame to walk. Man, this is great stuff. This is good stuff. All emotion. And what's left when the emotion is gone? I'm going to pass this along. This is wisdom from my pastor from many years ago, Charlie Yates. He used to call them Alka-Seltzer Christians. You know the kind. They make a big splash. They fizzle for a little while, and then all the fizz is gone, and the only thing that's left is a bad taste in your mouth. Alka-Seltzer Christians. Don't blame me. Blame Brother Charlie. It was his illustration. You see, some people make a big splash, but when the persecution comes, where are they? They're gone. They're gone. They're gone. Because it was all based on emotion. None of it was based on forgiveness. It was all, or repentance. It's all about emotion. Let's move on. Let's notice what else happens here. Let's look at the next segment. It goes on to say in verses 22, and he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now this person, I believe, is saved. But the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of this world. In fact, do you remember Paul in his address to Timothy, who mentioned that Demas had deserted him basically for the cares of this present world? Do you remember that? Demas was saved. He knew Jesus as his Lord and Savior. But his mind was so consumed with the things of the world that his focus got on the things of the world instead of on the things of Christ. And as a consequence, he left Paul. Let me ask you this morning, where's your focus? Where's your focus? Now let's go back to the script. Verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, so he heard it, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This guy has the potential to be productive for Jesus Christ. But he allows the cares of this world to so saturate his thinking, his mind processes, that he lets those things crowd out spiritual things. You understand what the danger of this is? I believe that that is a picture of Christianity today in our world. Christians who know Christ as their Lord and Savior, but rather than to be fruitful for Jesus Christ, they go off following the cares of this world. You notice some empty seats in the auditorium this morning? Shouldn't God's house be full? Now, if we were feeding 5,000, I'll guarantee you, this house would be full this morning. But we're not. We're here because we love Jesus. We're here because Jesus is first and foremost. Now, folks, I understand and I get everybody needs a break every once in a while. Everybody needs a vacation. I need a vacation away from you sometimes. Don't say it. The same is true on your side. We're human. But when we're gone more than we're here, do I need to say more? When we are gone more than we're here, what does that say about our priorities? What does that say about our Christianity? Do we really love Jesus as much as we say we do? Is he really as important to us as we say he is? Boy, that's convicting. I better move along. You get my point. The cares of this world will crowd out our desire to do spiritual things, and we will become unfruitful. We have the potential. It's there. But we don't realize it because we do not take seriously what Jesus Christ says. The last part. Verse 23. But he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. Now, remember what I said? Come to Jesus for the feeding the first time. The first time. But then come because you love him and because you want to feed others. I love feeding you. If I couldn't feed you, I wouldn't have a purpose to live. I love feeding you the Word of God. Who are you feeding? Who are you feeding? Jesus said that when the Word is received in the right kind of heart, fertile soil, it's not a matter if we'll be fruitful. It's a matter of how much. Because Jesus said some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Why is that? Not everybody has the same abilities. God knows that. And maybe I won't be rewarded for 100%, but I'm going to be in there somewhere. Because Jesus said, you will be fruitful. Folks, where's your fruit? Where's your fruit? Jesus said, do you understand all these things? Father, help us today. Father, we need you. We need to understand that we are personally accountable to you. We will stand in your presence one of these days and we will give an account for everything that we have ever said, everything that we have ever done. Help us today. Help us to be that fruitful Christian. Some 100%, 100-fold. Some 60 and some 30. Lord, help us not to be sidetracked by the cares of this world that will rob us of blessing. More important when we get to heaven is how many people did we take with us? How many people did we tell? How many missionaries did we send? How much effort did we put into successfully reaching the kingdom of Almighty God? Help us. Holy Spirit, speak to hearts of lost people today. Give them the courage to come and receive Christ. Spirit of the living God, speak to hearts of Christian people today that are preoccupied with so much. Help them to get their priorities straight. Lord, there's no reason why every seat in this building can't be filled. There's no reason why we can't build a bigger building and see it filled to the honor and glory of the Lord. Oh, Father, speak to our hearts. Help us to surrender to your will today. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake.